Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And we'll continue our study on Genesis. Lauren?
Thank you, Lord, for letting us come together today. Thank you for your word. Open our minds and our hearts so that we're able to receive it, learn from it, and teach from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so we're on chapter 35 in Genesis. Yay. So 34 ended with Dinah defiled. Remember, she was raped. She goes off to meet the other women where they are, and she ends up getting raped by one of the men there, and then Jacob's sons, her brothers, go and they trick the men to get circumcised, and then they kill them. They kill them while they're healing.
Right.
So, and then, you know, Jacob then tells Simon and Levi, you have brought trouble on me, making me odious to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. We are few in number. If they unite against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. But they answered, should he treat our sister like a prostitute? So we're already seeing like all the dysfunction in Jacob's family. And we'll continue to see that dysfunction. So we'll keep reading. Because then God comes to Jacob again in chapter 35. So return to Bethel. God said to Jacob, get up, go to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his family and all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes. We must get up and go to Bethel. I will build an altar there to the God who answered me in my day of distress. He has been with me everywhere I have gone. So remember, when Jacob first left, it was because he was running from Esau. Because after right. taking his birthright in his inheritance and everything. So his blessing, right? And so then he's running from, his mother tells him, leave because Esau wants to kill you. So, and then it was in Bethel where God appeared to him and told him not to be afraid, that he would be with him.
Right.
So God appears to him and he tells him, go back to Bethel. And then, so Jacob says to his family, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourself and change your clothes. And that's a good, that's something we should all do whenever we stray from God, when we return to him. I thought these were good. And Yvette, me and you were kind of talking about it this morning in your scripture where it said about the undergarments, how yes, they use and the you can't underwear. Put those back, right. And how is it God that tells them to go put them in the rocks?
Yes, yes.
And then,
he
right?
tells Daniel. No.
Daniel, no. Who was it? Who I don't remember. To go put them in the rocks. And they got, over time, they got destroyed. And so he tells them, you right. can't put those back on because they're now destroyed, right? So I thought Jeremiah. Of that when the, Jeremiah, there you Jeremiah. Go. And and so, and then here I thought of how we just got that one this morning. So, and here right. he, you know, Jacob tells all his people, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you, purify mm-hmm. yourselves and change your clothes. So, and I think, you know, because remember it was Rachel who still had the foreign gods that she had taken from her father.
Her father.
Mm-hmm. And it says purify yourself. So, you know, by returning to Bethel, so he's removing himself from where he was, you know, separating himself from where he was, and God's telling him, you need to move from there, and it's going to Bethel, purify yourself and change your clothes. So like a new a new start, a new start.
So but could that kind of be where he gets us and he removes certain people from our lives, or he removes us from certain situations?
Remember, a God can be anything, you know, a God can be anything. So, and yeah, I think it's totally that when we're having a separate, because he tells them, you leave here now, get up, go to Bethel and settle there. So God tells them, get up and move. So it's separating himself, just like he had to separate himself from Laban, back where he was with him. And so now God's telling him to separate himself from where he's at, because he shouldn't have stayed there. Remember, he was supposed to go back home, and he didn't. He settled. And so God's telling him, no, get up, go to Bethel, and settle there.
Yeah,
he stayed over there for 20 years when he wasn't supposed to go over there. But even when he came back and he met up with Esau, and Esau said, follow me, he still didn't follow Esau. Remember, he went another direction. So he still wasn't where God wanted him to be.
So I was thinking about that, and I meant to ask last week. So do you think he didn't follow Esau maybe because of the trust? Like he didn't fully have faith in God to protect him, because you know when he left, Esau was going to kill him.
Yeah.
You know? And even though they made up at that moment, he probably hesitated. You think like, I better not, it could still be a trap?
I think he started doubting, and he was, because remember, Jacob is not very brave. And I think because Jacob had still, remember, he didn't have any problem telling Laban all the stuff that Laban had did wrong. But since he was the one that did Esau wrong, I don't think that he didn't want to face that. So he's still kind of running from Esau, not sure where Esau's at, even though I think instead of confronting Esau and maybe talking about it, you know, and making sure that's behind him and trusting that God will protect him, he tells Esau, yes, sure, I'll follow you. But then he ends up going a different way.
Because God told him,
I'll protect you wherever you go.
Go back, and twice detour.
Yep. Okay. And that's exactly what we see here, until God tells him, get up, go to Bethel. But look what it took. It took for Dinah to be raped, and then that they killed those men. And so more than once now, it's taken, you know, consequences because he didn't obey to get him to be where God wants him to be.
To turn around, right?
To return to, because he's returning. But he, like you said, he keeps getting these detours because of the bad decisions that he's making.
Right. And it puts a delay in his.
It puts a delay on his inheritance, his peace. Right.
Right.
Then they gave Jacob all their foreign gods and their earrings, even their earrings. I thought that was a big one.
Yeah.
It says they gave Jacob all their foreign gods and their earrings, and Jacob hid them under the oak near Shechem. So even the jewelry that they were wearing, you know, so it's not just, you know, maybe like
a person or a place.
Or anything like that. It's materials. There must have been something with the earrings that represented a god or something.
Gold. Do you think because it's gold?
It must have been. It doesn't specify, but it might have been a symbol or something that represented a god.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
A medallion maybe or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So when they set out, a terror from God came over the cities around them, and they did not pursue Jacob's son. So there we see God intervene to where he wasn't being pursued by the men who
for revenge.
For revenge, right? That his sons had killed. So he came over the cities around them, and they did not pursue Jacob's sons. So Jacob and all who were with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Deborah, the one who had nursed and raised Rebekah, died and was buried under the oak south of Bethel. So Jacob named it Allen Bacuth. I don't remember, Deborah, if she was in the scriptures we read earlier, but Esau's the one that raised Rebekah, because Rebekah was
his wife.
Rachel's his wife, his mom. She must have been somebody who stayed with him. She might have been the one who maybe took care of him. So, maybe. I mean, she was dear to him because he named it, you know, he named that, mm-hmm. that he gave the place where they buried her a name. So she must have been important to him. God appeared to Jacob again after he returned from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. So again, God, so that, you know, confirmation that he's headed in the right direction and that God sees his obedience, you know, so God comes to him. God said to him, your name is Jacob. You will no longer be named Jacob, but your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. That's the second time. So I like how God is reminding him, mm-hmm. you know, it's not new information. It's the same information, but like he's reminding him and confirmate, you know, it's confirmation that he's on the right path. He's right. where he's doing what God wants him to do. He's reminding him, hey, yes, you got rid of your gods. You know, you're going through the action of purifying yourself. Mm-hmm. You've changed your clothes. Like Jacob is understanding and he's seeing now what must take place in order to get, you know, right with God, you know, so we see that he's doing all those things. So I think that's good for us to remember too, that when we return to God,
right,
that it's not just, okay, I messed up, you know, and I'm sorry for what I did, that, you know, we have to make sure to get rid of our foreign gods, you know, those things mm-hmm. that we're idolizing,
right,
purify ourselves and change our clothes, like completely separate ourselves from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that going back to Deborah, because I remember that name. She's one of the judges. So is that, I wonder if that's the same Deborah that was a judge too?
I don't think so.
This is still.
Yeah. I think they just use the same name, but I don't think it's, yeah, because we have any Deborah. There.
Okay.
I think Deborah's in Judges, the book of Judges.
Because right? She was a prophet in that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But Rebekah was the mom, but I don't remember seeing the name, but she must have been important to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be truthful and multiply. A nation indeed, an assembly of nations will come from you, and kings will descend from you. I will give to you the land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, and I will give the land to your future descendants. Then God withdrew from him at that place where he had spoken to him. So I love that. I love that even though it's the same information, but that God's come to give him that reminder and that confirmation, you know, that everything, the promise that he made, and that how important it is that he's doing the things that he's doing and returning to where God wants him to be.
So when it says, then God withdrew, like for me, I read it and take it as, did he, like, you think was speaking to him in his mind and then he withdrew from his mind? Or what do you think? Like, or did he appear to him and then withdrew from him?
I don't know, because he
talked about that.
Yeah.
How does he communicate with them?
I think the only time they mention or a description of them, then that's when it's Jesus, right? If not, I think it's just his voice.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember, no one has seen God, but it says God appeared, but it could have been just his voice, or it could have been another, like Jesus. It could have been another pre-incarnate Jesus, you know?
Okay, yeah. Because I know we've talked about that. How did he speak to, like, David? How did he speak to, well, we know Moses, he spoke to him directly. So, yeah, from early on, like with Abraham and stuff. So,
because remember, he had wrestled with
with Jesus.
With Jesus already. Mm-hmm. So it could have been the same.
Okay.
The same. I would think maybe it's the same figure that he saw then. You know, because remember he said, right. I saw God face to face. So it could have been the same figure that he saw then.
Okay. I just thought that was interesting. So
I caught that too. Then God withdrew. So I think that I just love that, though, that he gives them that reminder. Because you know how sometimes when we get scripture and we get the same one over and over and over, and why do we keep getting the same one? But and then finally we're like, oh, okay, I kept getting that one, you know. But we can see here where even though it's not something new, it's the same information, it's confirmation.
Confirmation, yes.
So Jacob set up a marker at that place where he had spoken to him, a stone marker. He poured a drink offering on it and anointed it with oil. Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. So, and then where it shows he poured a drink offering. Some of the commentaries said that that's like pouring your life. You know, he's pouring a drink offering anointed it with oil, but that could be a symbol of pouring your life out to him.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna underline that. Interesting.
Yeah, so because remember back then they weren't doing, because that was different. Like he poured a drink offering, and so that was, that's what made me look it up. Like it's a little different from what we're used to seeing, because they do the sacrifice, but here he pours a drink out.
So kind of like
drink offering. I'm like pouring wine, I would think. Life. Yes, like he's pouring his life, I guess, like a sacrifice. You know, that's his way of a sacrifice. The wine, the pouring his life out. It's his sacrifice. Remember, whenever they would do a sacrifice, it was the blood was the symbol of the sacrifice. So I think that's the same thing he's doing here.
Okay.
So and Rachel's death. So they set out from Bethel. When they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and her labor was difficult. During her difficult labor, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son." With her last breath, for she was dying, she named him Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a marker on her grave. It is the marker at Rachel's grave still today. Wow, I didn't know that. That was new. That was new to me. I didn't know that. So he loses Rachel before he loses Leah, and on the way to Bethel, you know, so that must have been really hard for him. And I think that must have been really...
because that was the
difficult because that was the love of his life. But here he is returning to God and doing everything God tells him, you know, and God had just spoke to him and gave him confirmation and all that. And then Rachel dies, you know.
But isn't that now knowing God and seeing how things go? It shouldn't, it's shocking because I don't remember, this is standing out now to me, but seeing how he is, how he, he lost Rachel. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a lesson in a way too. We have to see it like, you know, you loved her so much, but he can't have her as his idol, right?
Wait, is she the first one? I'm confused now with Rachel.
No, she's the second one. Rachel was the one he loved.
Yeah, the one he was after Leah to begin with, right? And then his father tricked him and gave him
And he could have been idolizing her, you know, because
Then he still loved Leah, though, that he appreciated once he had already married her. And then, he got Rachel, but he still held something for
He was married to her
and he gave her children. He had the children with her and all that stuff. He took care of her, but it always said he loved Rachel.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder why. Well, this is kind of eye-opening why he might have also favored Benjamin and Joseph.
Joseph. And then remember too, when Rachel said, "If I don't have a son, I will die."
Yes.
Remember? So that's kind of like, because remember, I mean, and I don't know. I mean, but look at how they were acting all the way up until now, you know, how they were competing and with the children and that where they were even giving that. So it's almost like they brought a curse on themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it does make me wonder if that had anything to do with any of that, because look, she had a son and she died because she said, if I don't have a son, yeah, you know, if I don't have a son, I will die. And she had a son and she died.
Wow.
So, but two, how that must have been for Jacob, because here he is thinking he's doing everything God wants him to do. He's doing everything right. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. You know, that doesn't mean that, okay, you snap your fingers. I'm going to do what God says. I'm, you know, making all these changes. I'm being obedient. I'm, you know, committing myself to this. And then something bad happens, you know?
Right.
And I think that's exactly how it is, you know, mm-hmm. now, because we think we're doing all those right things and then something like that shakes us, but it tests, it really does test our faith.
Well, and for me, I'm almost want to say, I keep picturing my mom, you know, because it's not that I idolized her, but I went to her for everything. And when she passed away, it was almost like you took my comfort away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I guess we can see it with Jacob, because yes, he had the other, well, he had Leah and the concubines, but we know he probably went to Rachel more than anything.
Right, right. Because, yeah, he loved her. And it says it several times how he loved her.
Yes. Yeah.
So that had to be definitely a new level of trust for Jacob. To have in God. So then Israel's sons, Israel set out again and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard about it. Jacob had 12 sons. Leah's sons were Reuben, which was Jacob's firstborn, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. Rachel's sons were Joseph and Benjamin. And then the sons of Rachel's slave, Bilhah, were Dan and Naphtali. And then the sons of Leah's slave were Zilpah, were Gad and Asher. These are the sons of these were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Okay, so now the oldest, the first son from Leah, sleeps with one of Jacob's wives, his concubine.
And that's a no-no.
No, and that's a no-no. So it just goes to show how there's still, you know, there's a lot of dysfunction there. And then how things are still, you know, happening. You know, just because he's obeying God doesn't mean his family's obeying God.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
And it didn't help that, you know, Leah and Rachel were the way they were, you know, because believe it or not, our children are watching us. And so we set that precedent of, you know, how things,
right,
what's right and what's wrong. So, and they learn from us, you know, they learn from us. So that wasn't, it just goes to show how there's still a lot, even though he's obeying God, there's still a lot of things happening.
Right.
Isaac's death. Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Remember, he thought his dad was going to die when he left. And then here we are. And so here we are like 20-something years later.
Yep.
And his dad really is dying this time. So he took his last breath and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days, his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So he did meet up with Esau again to bury their father. So at least they were able to do that. But that goes to show, like, don't think that we never know for sure when somebody's gonna die.
Right.
Because we never really know, because this is 20 something years later. And I can't imagine how Isaac was, because he was already pretty bad off, you know, all those years before. And and so then he dies, and that's it on Isaac. And then 36 is a genealogy of Esau's family, Because remember, he married the Canaanite women, and mm-hmm. they weren't supposed to marry the people of the land, you know, the women of that land.
Right.
But he did. And he had a lot, you know. It's not that he wasn't blessed, but he, because he had a lot of animals, and then he had a lot of children and his offspring, and then and he had chiefs, and he also had kings.
Right.
So and those were some of the first kings that reigned, because it was before even the Israelis had kings. So mm-hmm. So Esau did prosper, you know.
Right.
So even though I don't know if we read it already or we're going to read it, where it says God loved Jacob but hated Esau.
That comes later.
Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't mean, you know, he still prospered. And we kind of talked about that today too. You know, how is it that those that aren't, you know, that don't follow God, how they prosper, mm-hmm. those that are wicked or doing evil, how they prosper. And mm-hmm. and we see that here with
right.
with Esau. But then, you know, Esau, they become the Edomites,
right,
which later we learn are come against the Israelis. So
those are enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So okay, so then we move on to 37. Joseph's
is that like confirmation where God tells Rebecca they would be divided, right? Remember when they were in the womb, he said they would be two nations divided. So this is
because we already see that where they're like right. completely where they're divided, because they can't stay. They both have so much, you know, because Jacob mm-hmm. came with all that he had all his wife and all his sons, but Jacob is following God, and you know, we see that he has God's he does have the inheritance and the blessing. Where Esau, we don't see anything between him and God at all, and he married the women there, and they're that we learn later are enemies of Israel. So definitely. Yep. Which happened early on before they even had their, look how early it we saw that when they,
So just confirmation. What God told them. Yeah.
Okay. Watch it, seeing it play out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Joseph's dreams. So remember, Joseph is Jacob's one of his younger sons. Well, his older son from Rachel, because he has two sons from Rachel. So mm-hmm. it's Joseph and Benjamin. So Joseph's the older son. So Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. So I guess his brothers, right? Mm-hmm. And he brought a bad report about them to their father. Mm-hmm. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons, because Joseph was son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. So here we see the favoritism again.
Yep.
So we see that that never works out, because
And it's almost like, it's like him wearing it, you want to think, did he do it on purpose, like a show? Like, I'm going to rub this in your...
Yes, you know? I'm sure. And I mean, and I think that Jacob saw, because Jacob was, he loved Joseph. And I think because he was also Rachel's son, you know, he loved Joseph. And then he had him in his older years. It points that out, that he was in his older years. So then Jacob was a little bit more wiser, and I guess, you know, more patient maybe. But I mean, favoritism with your children is never gonna, that's not a good thing. That's never gonna work. Yeah. And he might've seen, Joseph might've been maybe more, because he tells on his brother. So he might have been more, he might have seen that in Joseph, that he was a better son too. Maybe if he knew from right from wrong, where he was pointing out what his brothers were doing wrong, you know, right. Although it looks like there was a big age difference there too. So, but you see that this dysfunction is not getting any better.
No. Just beginning.
Yes. So it's like, geez, Louise. So then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. There we were binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly my sheaf stood up and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Are you really going to reign over us? His brothers asked him. Are you really going to rule us? So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers. Look, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He told his father and brothers, and his father rebuked him. What kind of dream is that you have had? He said. Am I and your mother and your brothers really going to come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I think that Joseph has a gift, and they know he had a gift. You know, he might have been having other dreams and they were coming true. Because for them to immediately believe, you know, them to believe it enough to where they hate him or, you know, more, I'm thinking that maybe, and that might have been too another reason why he was a favorite of Jacob. You know, because if he has a gifted son here and he's having these dreams.
Right.
And these revelations, you know, and so they're hating him for it. And Joseph, I guess, not knowing any better, I'm sure that he was probably dancing around in his coat.
Well, we have to remember he's 17.
Yeah, so that's like the perfect age to be
teasing him a bit, you know?
Flaunting his coat and saying, y'all are going to bow to me. Yeah, yep. So instead of Jacob teaching him, you know, maybe, hey, you do have a gift, you know, you do have the gift, but you have to be careful with this gift. They're asking for God for guidance for him, like Jacob, you know, don't, that's not good, don't flaunt or whatever, you know, those are your older brothers and or whatever, you know. And but throughout all of Jacob's parenting, we don't see any guidance or, you know, good leadership or anything, you know, other than that he does follow God and he's doing all those things, but we don't see him react to when Dinah got raped. We don't see him. He stayed for Rachel when he had gotten the other wife. He didn't stand up to their father when he was taking advantage of them. So, you know, that tells us a lot about Jacob.
His character.
Yeah. So Joseph sold into slavery. His brothers had gone to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, your brothers, you know, are pasturing the flocks at Shechem. Get ready, I'm sending you to them. I'm ready, Joseph replied. Then Israel said to him, go and see how your brothers and the flocks are doing and bring word back to me. So he sent him from the Hebron Valley and he went to Shechem. A man found him there wandering in the field and asked him, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers, Joseph said. Can you tell me where they are pasturing their flocks? They moved on from here, the man said. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph set out after his brothers and found them at Dothan or Dothan. They saw him in the distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. So they really hated him. They're plotting to kill him.
Yes.
No, like it's serious. I mean, those are some serious, that's some serious plotting there.
Yeah.
So, and I'm surprised that Jacob would send him too. Like, go check. I mean, he's kind of like, go check on your brothers and tell me what they're doing. You know,
so I mean, do you think it's more like naive or just doesn't want to see it.
I think Jacob is very careless. I think he's very careless with the family. You know,
yeah.
I think he's he comes off as kind of selfish. He's going to God and he has a relationship to God, but we don't really see any leadership where he's trying to teach them or being firm with them, you know, the future generation. You would think that he would be more firm and have more in place to guide them, you know.
And it's almost like he would have to know the feelings of his other sons towards Joseph.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because I don't see the brothers keeping it a secret how they are jealous of him or how they hate him.
Right. Know? And it's and here, you know, they know they have this blessing. They know they're gonna prosper. They know that they're gonna be they're gonna receive all that land, you know, the next generation.
Right.
And you would think that he would be teaching them how to take care of that and how they need to, because God tells them, as long as you obey me and as long as you do these things. And we don't see any of that from Jacob at all.
You don't even hear God anymore.
No,
really?
Nope. They said to one another, oh, look, here he comes, that dream expert. So now, come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. We can say that a vicious animal ate him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. When Reuben, the older brother, remember Reuben is Leah's, he's the oldest one, Leah's first son, heard this. He tried to save him, Joseph, from them. He said, let's not take his life. Reuben also said to them, don't shed blood. Throw him into the pit in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him, intending to rescue him from them and returning him to his father. So Reuben kind of, you know, tries to save him, but not really stand up for him. He could have said, no, leave him alone. We're not doing anything. He's just a kid, you know.
Yeah.
He kind of like, well, let's not kill him, but let's throw him in the pit.
Yeah. And thinking I'll come back for him later.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped off Joseph's robe, the robe of many colors that he had on. Then they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty without water. They sat down to eat a meal, and when they looked up, there was a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. So they see like a caravan coming of Ishmaelites, and they end up selling Joseph to them as a slave.
Right.
You know, they sell him as a slave for silver. But Reuben he's gone now. He doesn't appear to be with them, because then it reads, when Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, the boy is gone. What am I going to do? So I wonder if maybe Reuben, since he was the oldest, maybe he was responsible for him, you know, whenever they were out and about.
Right. Sounds
because he
like
says,
it.
It's 'cause he's like, the boy is gone. What am I going to do? So they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a male goat, and dipped the robe in its blood. They sent the robe of many colors to their father and said, we found this. Examine it. It is your son's robe or not? Is it your son's robe or not? His father, you know, Israel, Jacob, recognized it. It is my son's robe, he said. A vicious animal has devoured him. Joseph has been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth around his waist, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning. And his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guards. So here we see that, you know, that they sold Joseph to be a slave, as a slave to the Ishmaelites. And now he ends up in Egypt with an officer of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to learn later how Joseph is going to benefit from this, right? His brothers have tried to kill them. They threw him in a pit. They sold him as a slave. And now he's in Egypt under the king. But we're going to see how God uses that later to to and change his life.
Right.
Yeah, and his right. gift, right. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very interesting here how Joseph, you know, he should have been more careful with his gift, like to be careful with his gift, because, you know, you never know who's going to be envious. I mean, here, his own brothers are very envious that they try to kill him and then, you know, end up selling him as a slave. And
right.
And right. you never know. You just never know how people are going to react.
And so you wonder, too, is this all part of consequences still, or is this now going to be something totally different? You know, because we know a lot of things happen. Bad things have been happening to his family already, you know. And so here's another with Joseph. So,
oh, I think it's definitely consequences because okay. he but consequences of not only of Jacob's doing, but of his okay. father's doing, you know.
Okay, right.
Because his father, Isaac, could have, remember Isaac, when they had their favorites, Isaac had one and then Rebecca had the other, remember?
Yeah, right.
And so we saw where they as parents, you know, could have handled that different and how they're not going to God for guidance. Because then we see how Isaac's father, Abraham, mm-hmm. Remember to find Isaac's wife, he sent, was he that sent Abraham? Yeah, he sent somebody to go find, was that Isaac's wife or was that Abraham's
wife? Kept Isaac with Abraham. He kept Isaac with him, but sent somebody to
Go bring his wife over right. because for him not to leave to leave the land in which God had given them. Remember, and so we see how slowly things are being lost from generation to generation. And we see how
so it just makes you wonder, too, if things would have been a little different with Jacob and Rachel, because Rachel sent him. Rebecca sent Jacob
away because Esau was.
Yeah. Instead of keeping him, straining things out with the boys. So yeah,
right. Right. And remember, she's the one that sent Jacob to go steal the birthright. So right there. Right. Those are here are the consequences. Yeah, here are the consequences of his mother's actions, you know, and right. we think that's why it's not the favoritism. It's not going to work out, you know, because if you favor one son more than the other, and we should always go to God for our children. I mean, I think this is a perfect lesson. If I've learned anything from Genesis is how God intervenes. You know, and from closing a womb and opening a womb, you know, for a blessing of a child. And if he's able to do that, why wouldn't he help you with your children? And then finding the wife, how they prayed to find the wife for Isaac, you know, and mm-hmm. how it was pleased, you know, how the servant prayed and said, let it be this and this to make sure he found the right woman for Isaac.
And
it happened exactly like that. So, you know, I think that if we can learn anything from that is to take everything to God, because in order to stay under God's covering, you know, how, and it's very confusing because a lot of these things you think, well, what would I would have, you know, how could I handle this and how, and some of it is not clear. You know, how we would have handled it. But I think in all the instances where they've gone to God, he has made it very clear and he's protected them and he's guided them, you know?
Yep.
So I think that's one of the things that I'm learning most from Genesis. And we see a lot of dysfunction here and all that, but so we can't say that we can't relate to it because this is all stuff we see today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see now, like you said, Joseph has been put in a situation, you know, and are we ready for closing? Because then I think I have like the perfect scripture for that.
Yes.
We're ready. And you know, it's only getting better, you know,
because I think one of the things I think we all can agree on is when we are put in different situations, there's one thing that God has for us, and it's a plan, right? He always has a plan. So that brings us to our closing scripture, which is Jeremiah 29:11, because I think it's one of the best ones. It's one of my favorites.
Yes. Yep.
So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration, plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that one.
Me too. Me too.
Okay. And thank you everybody for joining us. And then we'll see you next week.